Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. All right. You might notice that I've been operating a little more thematically this particular year. And if you did notice that, good on you. You were right. That was intentional. So for February 2024, which is when I'm recording this episode, I am focusing on love and relationships. Kind of generic because, you know, February 14th, Valentine's Day, all that. But no worries. I wanted to try to find some ways to kind of cluster some topics together with the podcast rather than just doing a little bit here and a little bit there. I might blow up the theme thing and not do it in the future, but for now, I'm really liking it and it's working for me. And today I will be talking about relationship habits that make everything easier. Now, if you missed my most recent episode on ways to improve communication, highly recommend that you go grab that episode and listen to it because, of course, relationships are built on the foundation of communication. That is how we relate. We talk to each other, or we don't do it as well as we'd like to. So communication is definitely something that you want to improve in any relationship. And as I talk about relationships, I'm also going to, I think that the tools are applicable to work, to family, to your relationship with your kids, regardless of age. A lot of though, what I'll refer to today will probably be centered around like an intimate partnership. I have been with my husband now for almost 20 years, which is kind of amazing to think about. And I feel like we've learned a lot of things along the way. And we definitely both came into the relationship with different ideas about how things should be handled or how things should go. And of course, that means that we ran into conflict. We were reacting and responding to things differently. We had limitations in terms of our tools. So a lot of what I'll be talking about today for these relationship habits that make everything easier will be looking at things you could apply to your intimate partnerships, but certainly they would apply to like family or other scenarios. Also, I want to give a hat tip to Matthew Marzell, who really has been the person that my husband and I worked with the most to talk through things going on in our relationship. So I like to give credit to the people I've learned from, and I've definitely learned a lot from him. So a couple different things. I'm going to start with this one. Trusting that people are doing their best. That is a habit. And it's one that when we are really activated and we're really upset, we have to remind ourselves of. Because when someone is doing something, especially if they're not handling it well, it's hard to remember that they're doing their best. It's hard to remember that when someone is snippy, when they're irritable, when they're just not very with it, they're not very focused, it's hard not to go into a space of why are they doing that? Why aren't they doing this other thing that they really should be doing? Why aren't they paying more attention? Why aren't they being calmer? Why are they being so overreactive, in my estimation, of course, in that moment? Trusting that people are doing their best is about looking at that person in the moment when they are doing something that you don't like and really going, okay, this is their capacity right now. That's the thing that I remind myself of. It was something that my daughter's older now, and it's been a minute since we've had a full-on temper tantrum, but it was something that I would remind myself of when she was younger and she would have these like full-on meltdowns. I'd look at her and I'd think to myself, okay, deep breath, Kate. She is at capacity right now. Like my daughter did not think to herself, I know what's really going to overwhelm, piss off, frustrate, freak out my mother right now. Let me just like lay down on the floor kicking and screaming because I'm really, really upset. Actually, what I see whenever my daughter has had a temper tantrum when she was younger is I see a little tiny being who's just really, really afraid by big emotions and does not know what the hell to do. And they just completely like spewing them all out because it was too big to hold the emotion of frustration and tiredness and whatever else was going on in her body, in her body. So I kind of think that we bring a lot of who we are when we're, not kind of, I actually do think we bring a lot of who we were and how what we learned to navigate the world into our adult relationships. And that means that, yeah, sometimes we are in relationships with people in some capacity who are emotionally frozen at a particular age. They could be emotionally frozen at the age of that toddler having a total meltdown when something doesn't go the way they wanted it to go. They could be emotionally frozen at like the age of a teenager, just too cool to be bothered by you. Like, oh my God, you're so ridiculous. Like a kind of condescending, like a teenager trying to individuate and sort of have a pomp and circumstance as if they're more mature than they really are. Think of the people that you have sometimes had conflict with and really ask yourself if you can see the younger self that that person was, that is exhibited through their behavior. Because the reality is that people are doing their best. It might not always be right. It might not always be what we want, but people are doing the best they can with the tools and awareness and knowledge and capacity that they have. So we got to trust that people are doing their best. That does not mean that you have to put up with being abused. That does not mean that you have to stay in relationship. That does not mean that you're necessarily going to go, oh, well, they're doing the best that they can, so I should just be really supportive. And it doesn't necessarily mean that. One of the metrics, in fact, if you're kind of going, okay, well, then how do I know the line? The metric that I really look at is this person invested in things getting better? And by invested, I mean like in an accountable way. So I would not, for instance, recommend that if someone is physically abusing you and that you say to yourself, oh, they're doing their best, I need to be compassionate. And I would also recommend that you do not take the lip service of, I really want to do better, and leave it at that. Because abuse is really harmful. But what I would say is that outside of a situation like abuse, try to see that that person is not waking up in the morning and thinking, how can I mess with you? They are really doing their best, and they might get defensive, or they might get reactive, or they might have learned a particular pattern from their parents, and it might not have ever occurred to them that there's another way to do life, to do conflict. And so really the thing I look for is this person invested in learning, growing? Might not be perfect, but are we in it together, basically? And I really feel like that is something that is grace my husband and I have given each other a lot. And that's been a lot of why, even when we were both really frustrated with one another at various points over the years, we always managed to somehow find our way back to each other, because I think he really trusts that I'm always doing my best, and I always want to find my way with him to something better. And for sure, I trust that about him. Next relationship habit, understanding, and clarifying to get better understanding. So I talked about this with communication, about the important, like it's a really big communication tool. Confirm that you understand what the message the person was trying to send. But I really do think that this is a big one for people to get into the habit of, which is why I'm going to pull it out from that communication episode and highlight it more today. Ask yourself now, even. Think about your interactions that you've had today. Think about what it was like to, I don't know, like get the kids up and get them out the door for school. When they said things to you, did you pause to clarify with them that you understood what they were trying to say to you? With your partner, if that was your situation, or while you were on your commute, or with your coworkers, are you taking the time to really make sure that you actually understand the intention or the message that the person was trying to communicate? This can go a lot of different ways, by the way, like when you get into this habit, because, for instance, you can clarify for better understanding, oh, hey, did you mean that you were going to do this or this? I just wanted to make sure I'm following you. And that can prevent issues from happening. But you can also, once you've gotten into that habit of just routinely clarifying, sometimes when people are being kind of passive aggressive, you can ask what their intent was. So if, you know, someone says something like, oh, well, you know, maybe you're working with them, right? And they're kind of passive aggressive and you sense that some like stuff is kind of going on, but they're not kind of coming out and saying it. And maybe you're in a meeting with them and they say something like, I know you're busy and I'll just need to wait until you get that file over to me. You can actually, once you're in the habit of clarifying for better understanding in all your relationships and all your interactions, it'll be a natural default for you to go, oh, can you tell me more about that? And then when they go, what do you mean? You can go, oh, it's possible I'm misreading into the situation. I wasn't sure if you were frustrated, if you were feeling like perhaps I hadn't gotten something to you in the past, but I could totally be making up a story. You know, like use the room for like, I'm not thinking that my interpretation of the situation is correct. I'm just checking in. Could you clarify that? Sometimes all it takes with somebody who's being passive aggressive is asking them to repeat themselves. And then they kind of understand how the words are coming out of their mouth. You know, that the hope would be that that is what happens, right? So clarifying for better understanding, it keeps issues from happening that could bloom into something bigger. The example that I gave in the communication episode was just like a super simple interaction that my husband and I might have. I might say to him, hey, babe, I'm going to head out. I'm going to stop at the store and then I'm going to go do pickup for our daughter. And then he might say something like, oh, sounds good. Hey, I'm just curious. Are you doing like a quick grabbing a couple things at the grocery store? Are you doing like a full on grocery shop? And that little moment where he takes a second to clarify things for me can help both of us avoid one of those like tired end of day arguments where you're just going, you know, maybe he would think I was just doing a quick grocery shop, but actually it's taking longer and da da da. And like, it just avoids a situation where like, he's thinking that we were going to do this at this time based on an assumption that it was a quick grocery shop, but I'm going, no, it's a bigger one. I got to get a ton of things. I'm going to be kind of late. It just avoids those sorts of things. So when you clarify for better understanding, you can really avoid some of the relationship issues that could blow up and become a bigger thing. And then, as I mentioned, clarifying also helps in situations where you suspect someone is being kind of passive aggressive, or maybe even you suspect that they are kind of irritated with you and they won't just freaking say it. I find that like, I really don't like guessing when it comes to if someone is annoyed with me or irritated with me. And by the way, I feel very self-conscious to some degree about doing back-to-back episodes on relationships because it makes it sound like all of my because I'm pulling anecdotes to put into the episode, it can make me sound as if I'm just like one after the other, after the other, after the other, relationship problems and conflict. And that's not the case, but it definitely is something where I'm looking at this and kind of going, I feel a little weird talking about this, but at the same time, I mean, these are the things that happen. And let me just go ahead and normalize it and be transparent. Like, I don't have perfect relationships all the time, even though I have the tools, even though I use the tools. Such is life. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the absolute best I can to be a loving, committed, integrated, whole, fumbling person who's loyal and tries to show up for people. And we all do the best we can. And sometimes I fall short. And I absolutely have situations in my relationships with people where I look back on how I handled something and I go, wow, I really messed that up. What are you going to do? You're going to own it, apologize, make amends, live and learn, all of that. That's the best any of us can do. All right. So I've talked about trusting that people are doing their best and understanding that people get reactive from a place of their wounding and, you know, their limitations. People are at capacity sometimes. I've talked about clarifying for better understanding, really getting into that habit. Clarify, 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 clarify. Use it as a habit in your low conflict or no conflict relationships. definitely will help you to use this tool in your high conflict relationships. Next tool, keep the focus on yourself. It's the hardest tool, just in case you're wondering. Keep the focus on yourself. The reality is that sometimes we all fall into the trap of wanting to justify our own bad behavior because someone else started it, because you tried to work it out with them and they didn't handle it very well when you tried that. Like maybe they were snippy or rude when you tried to, you know, make things better with them. So you're kind of like, well, see, I tried, but they did this and this and this thing, you know. Sometimes our relationships go sideways because we are spending our, actually, I'm going to rephrase that. We are wasting our life force, our vitality, and our energy on judging other people. We're looking at what they're doing and how they didn't do this and they didn't do that. They always do this and they never do that. And why do they think this and this and this? Keep the focus on yourself. Keep the focus on yourself. Is your side of the street clean? And if your side of the street is clean in the sense that you are operating from a place of integrity where your words and your actions match, you know that you're not approaching the relationship with a negative energy, you're believing that people are doing the best, you're supportive, you're doing all the things that you can do, in those moments when the other person in the relationship is not on their best behavior, do not use their poor behavior as a justification for lowering your own standards. Do not use their poor behavior as justification for lowering your own standards. The way I also try to think about this is that we all go through kindergarten, at least kindergarten, if not first grade, grade school. And at some point, somebody tells us, just because they hit you doesn't mean you hit them back. Just because they took your toy doesn't mean you grabbed their toy. Just because they shoved you doesn't mean you shoved them. Just because they called you a name doesn't mean you call them a name. So the way I look at it for myself is, and I encourage you to look at it as well, is y'all, we can be better than kindergarten, right? We can be better than kindergarten. We learned this stuff in kindergarten, so let's act like it. How would you like someone to treat you when you were not at your best? However that would be, keep the focus on yourself and then give people that same grace. I really feel like graciousness and giving people grace is a lost concept to some degree in current society. And I think that the reason that it gets lost is because people get really caught up in this idea that if they don't sort of hit back, they will always be hit. I think that's a little bit of a narrow or single-minded way of thinking about the situation. Just because someone mistreats you and you don't mistreat them back does not mean that that's the only situation you can find yourself in. It doesn't mean that that's the limitation. Well, they mistreated me. I have no other options. I either have to take it and take it and take it and take it, or I got to hit them back. I don't think that's true. We also have options like removing ourselves from their presence or taking action on a wider systemic level to try to change attitudes, beliefs, systems. We also have options like clearly communicating a boundary back. Like you don't have to hit back, but you could absolutely look that person in the eye and say, do not hit me. Do not talk to me that way. If you continue to talk to me that way, I'm out. I will not tolerate it. Like you can actually say those things. And all of those things, if that is your response, is a form of keeping the focus on yourself. Being someone who keeps the focus on yourself and is committed to behaving with integrity and making sure your behavior is reflective of that integrity and of your good character is not about taking it when there's poor behavior from other people. It is about a continuation of knowing that good character comes from this commitment to integrity. So keep the focus on yourself. As soon as you go over to justifying poor behavior because they had poor behavior, I think you lower yourself. I think you lower your standards. And as soon as you are no longer keeping the focus on yourself by doing an inventory and being irritated about all the things that they could have done better, that they should have done better, that you're frustrated that they didn't do better, that is your life energy, your life force, and your vitality. And it's getting wasted thinking about what they did. And really, wouldn't it just be so much better to think about what either something solution-seeking, like what you could do, or to take your energy off of their poor behavior entirely and just put your focus on the things that lift you up and make you feel better? And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. I get it. I've been reactive before. I'm not saying any of this from some throw glitter in the sky and pretend everything's perfect and it's so easy. This is hard stuff to do. But it is also how I think we come to more peace and how we get along better with the people in our lives. All right, so I've talked about trusting that people are doing their best, clarifying, understanding, and keeping the focus on yourself. The fourth relationship habit that I think makes everything easier is actually my favorite. Apologize and take ownership. Apologize and take ownership. So apologies. Make true apologies. Do not just apologize to keep the peace, so to speak. You know, don't just give it lip service. A fake apology is worse than no apology at all on some level. It's manipulative. And I don't think anybody here listening to this wants to be a manipulative person by exhibiting manipulative behaviors. And it's manipulative to give a false apology when you aren't actually apologizing, because really what you're trying to do is manipulate the person's emotions to be back into a state of agreeableness. But if you're still holding resentment, if the situation is not resolved, or if you are apologizing for something that you don't actually think you did wrong, you're just paying it lip service, what's ending up happening is that you are manipulating by engaging that person in a false pretext. You're telling that person, I feel this way, when you really don't. And you're telling them that to try to get them to feel a different way about you and about the relationship. So no false apologies. Apologize and take ownership. I gotta say, for me, and this is tied to, you know, my childhood, how I grew up, I grew up with some adults who would not apologize, and I hated that. I hated it. And so I just remember being very young and at a young age going, I will not be like that. I will apologize. So I'm actually someone where in my adult life, I don't like the feeling of knowing that I did something wrong and not apologizing and taking ownership. I hate the feeling, actually, really. Like, if I know I did something wrong, that doesn't feel great to know I did something wrong. But the only thing worse than not feeling great and knowing I made that mistake and did something wrong or hurt someone is if I'm not apologizing and taking ownership. I'm the kind of person where if someone in my life feels like I did something wrong and they wish I would apologize, I'm probably not, if I haven't given them an apology for that behavior, I'm probably not aware that they think I did something wrong. Because if I see where I made a mistake or impacted someone negatively, I'd just rather apologize and take ownership. I find it freeing. So I think a lot of people also have this idea that if they apologize, they have to apologize wholesale. Like, there's this war, so to speak, in conflict, and whoever apologizes is the one who takes all the blame, all the fault. I'm not suggesting an apology like that. If I have, say, a disagreement with my husband, which, again, I feel like as I pull out these anecdotes for podcasts, it's going to sound like we have them back to back all the time, every single day, and that's really not the case. But when it does happen, it's not like I would approach him and say, hey, I'm really sorry for arguing with you earlier. It is completely my fault that you forgot to do X, Y, and Z, and I should just take ownership and never expect that you ever remember to do anything that you say you're going to do. I'm just kind of riffing here, and that sounds like the most passive-aggressive apology I can imagine, but let's just say that that was where I was coming from in an earnest and honest way. Let's just say that I was trying to apologize for absolutely everything, including somehow his behavior. That's not what I'm suggesting you guys do. That would be ridiculous. Nobody is fully at fault for a conflict because conflict can't happen unless two people are engaging with it. So when I'm saying apologizing and taking ownership, let's like just riff on this hypothetical of maybe I'm upset with my husband because he said he'd do something and he forgot to do it and he has chronically forgotten to do it. Let's just pull that together as a hypothetical. If that was happening and I got angry at him and we had an argument about it, the apology that I would want to bring would be an apology for being angry, reactive, irritated in the sense of taking it out on him. So I wouldn't be apologizing for feeling angry. I would be apologizing, hey, I'm really sorry that I took that out on you. I'm really sorry I raised my voice. I'm really sorry I said, you always forget that, because I know it's not true that you always forget. I would just be apologizing and taking ownership for the thing that was actually relevant to the situation and relevant to making a repair. There's no need to apologize for anything else. And in apologizing, you are not taking blame for a situation wholesale. Now, in my episode on communication, I stated at the top of the episode that when you're thinking about communication tools, you have to be thinking about what type of relationship you're working with, because 100% there are certain people who they are doing their best, they are at capacity, we can acknowledge all those things, and the behavior patterns that they have are so reactive or so abusive that this doesn't work. So you have to know what kind of relationship you're dealing with. In the podcast episode on communication, I said that I'm talking about relationships where the relationship is one where both people are invested in trying to improve and make the relationship better somehow. And there's an equal or reciprocal kind of a focus on that. Both people really are solution seeking, even though they might be imperfect and sometimes get triggered and sometimes get reactive or, you know, things like that. That is very different than a situation where someone's abusive. In situations where someone is emotionally abusive, physically abusive, things of that nature, apologizing can often be used against you. And you can actually, this is an abusive thing to do, to take someone's apology or their attempt at repair and ownership over their own behavior and then use it against them. Like, see, you just apologized a moment ago for this thing. What? You know, now you're trying to say that I have some ownership here too? Like, people who are operating from a place of reciprocity and a place of solution seeking understand that you are not the one who is wholesale at fault for conflict in the relationship. They see where they too could take ownership for something. Having said that, even with people who are really great people, it is important when you are apologizing and taking ownership to do that, because it is a reflection of your integrity and your character, not to try to elicit an apology from the other person. So apologizing in that case where, like, you know, the hypothetical I brought up of, like, let's say I'm frustrated, my husband said he'd do something and then he forgot. If I apologize for, hey, I'm really sorry, I got really agitated with you earlier and I raised my voice and I wish that I hadn't done that. So I just wanted to say that I'm sorry. If I say that, I'm saying that for me, and I'm saying that because I think it's in the best interest of the relationship. I should not say that because I'm holding an expectation that his next words are going to be, oh, babe, thank you so much. You know what? I need to apologize because I got really reactive and it does not work. Getting an apology to try to get an apology, also manipulation, and not really what giving an apology is about. Giving an apology is about aligning with our integrity and really stepping into a space where we're trying to be more relational with someone and find a way to love and connect with them even better. Apologies are not about trying to get something from someone. All right. So trusting that people are doing their best and understanding that sometimes people get reactive from a place of their wounding. Understanding, clarifying for better understanding. It's number two. Keep the focus on yourself. Apologize and take ownership for your part. All of these tools, when they are turned into habits, when it becomes a habitual default for you to ask yourself, how can I trust that this person's doing their best? How can I make sure I'm clarifying and understanding? How can I keep the focus on myself? How can I apologize and take ownership for my part? When those are habits and you're doing them all over the place, your relationships will drastically, drastically improve. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.